Welcome to Main Street Matters. I'm Stephanie McLeese, Executive Director at Monticello Main Street.
And I'm Brandon Taylor, your co-host and Main Street Board Member.
Across the table from us are Tiffany and Kyle Kester of Kester Homes. Tiffany, yes. Kyle, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
We're good. We're glad to be on the first inaugural podcast.
Yay! Groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's what we try to be. So.
Yeah. Oh, no pun intended, but that kind of works.
As nervous as 100%. We are, we're here.
That's right. Yeah, you push the record button and things change. 100%.
Yeah, totally.
So we're here today to bring visibility not only to Monticello Main Street, but to all the local businesses here in Monticello, and kind of get a better understanding why you're here, what you do, and what you like about the city.
And we'd also love to hear from you in terms of just, you know, sharing your subject matter expertise, being a resource to the community. All of our small business owners are experts in their respective fields, and so the more we can share that kind of knowledge and information across our community, the stronger we'll all be together. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about home buying and selling, because it's that time of year, right?
We can answer those kind of questions.
We know a few things about
that.
Yes,
we do.
Well, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about kind of your elevator pitch. First of all, who are you? What do you do? In case for those who don't know you.
We are Kester Homes. I am Tiffany Kester.
I'm Kyle Kester.
We're married, and we sell real estate, and we build houses, and we do everything homes related.
Yep, we're licensed brokers with Keller Williams. We have an office located in Monticello. In addition to that, we also own a custom home company that builds new construction houses as well.
Yep.
So we're trying to be your ad. Go ahead.
Are you guys residential and
commercial?
Commercial or
Yep.
We do residential and commercial real estate. We don't do any commercial building on that side of our business, but buying and selling, absolutely, we do both residential and commercial.
Now, how long have you been in Monticello?
Kyle, you were what, since you were 5?
Yeah, I moved here when I was in kindergarten, and I haven't left yet.
So he's been here a while. I moved here whenever we got married, almost 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Very cool.
But I can still hear the Arkansas.
A little bit. The twang comes out.
What's your favorite thing about Monticello?
I personally, so moving here to Illinois from Arkansas really stressed me out because I thought Chicago immediately, like most people. But moving here, it is such an awesome small town. And I love that. Everyone is so friendly. They're so hospitable. You go to the grocery store, everyone's so kind. You walk around downtown, everyone's so nice. And you really have everything you need. I really love the town. It has like a... It's got the big town draw, I feel like, because you're surrounded by other bigger cities. So if you need to get something, you can pretty quickly, but you really have everything you need. And it's got that southern hospitality that I kind of like, just being from the south. So.
Sure. Well, being a Texan.
Kyle, what about you? You've been here a little while.
So I grew up here. I'm kind of partial to Monticello. And I think everybody that grew up in Monticello has to have a love for Filippo's Pizza myself. That more so than the outsiders that come in. But I like Filippo's. You know, I feel like our town has a lot to offer for a community of our size. We have a lot of big businesses here that are producing things, you know, not only regionally, but, you know, nationwide. I also feel like we have a very large number of restaurants for a town our size. I think that's an excellent draw. And, you know, we've got great schools. It's just all in all a good small community. Mm-hmm. And it's one that I've always felt like is a good home to me, and never really felt a desire to leave it. So when I got into real estate, it just made sense to locate our business here.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Well, Stephanie, you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's jump into the into that expertise sharing, shall we? So we'll talk a little bit about, give some tips and tricks for both the sellers and the buyers in the market at this point. So let's start with our sellers, those who are getting ready to put their home on the market. What kind of updates and staging are really necessary for those folks? I mean, how much time and effort should people really be putting into that process?
So I feel like the number one thing is to declutter. And I I know that that's talked about a lot.
Right.
But that is huge. That really is, because you've got, whenever you're living in the home, it can become very, very cluttered with furniture, things like that. And a lot of things people don't think about is, you know, you have an agent walking through the home. You have the couple buying, walking through the home that are potentially buying, and then you have their kids potentially. And so those walkways need to be wide. You need to make sure that you have things pretty cleared out, because otherwise it's going to feel really crammed and compact.
Okay. What about, how much do you think painting comes into effect? I mean, should I, if I've tailored paint colors in my home to suit our personal tastes and style decor, do you think I should do a fresh coat of neutral paint? Or should I just wait and see how the house kind of shows before I take that leap?
You know, there's a lot of people, I think, that, and Kyle can attest to this too, we have people contact us a lot that want to list their house, and they'll have us go through beforehand. And I don't think that's a bad idea for people, because a lot of people want to just dive a ton of money into the kitchen or the bathroom, and they spend money that's really not necessary from the get-go. And so to have an agent meet with you that you really trust to, you know, not necessarily saying us, but just anyone that you really trust that can just walk you through and tell you where to place your money and your time and your efforts, I think is going to be huge for getting you set up for success, for getting the house sold.
Yeah, and I think paint specifically is one of those things where if you have real dark personalized colors, and when I say personalized, I mean red, green.
Like a deep orange,
Yeah. I mean, those may be great to you, and they're going to be great to some people that want to see your house, but they're not going to be the colors that every person's going to like.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also tell this to home buyers, but paint is cheap, and most people have the skill to paint themselves. Now, whether you want to or not, that's your own problem.
Right.
But you have the skill to paint yourself. It's relatively cheap. If it's in question, I think you should definitely do it. Because that's one of those items that's not going to cost you a whole lot.
Right. And sometimes some people have a hard time seeing past that.
They really do. I have showed so many houses where people cannot visualize. Like, they'll be like, oh, I really like the house, but it had like neon yellow paint. Like, I specifically remember that happening before, and I was like, y'all, that's cheap to fix. Like, that's a super easy cheap to fix.
But it becomes the thing they remember to the open floor plan,
the kitchen, or all of these awesome things. Like, people really focus on that. So that is a really cheap thing to fix. I recommend that typically. Like, if you have something that's super, super specialized to you, I recommend definitely.
It just gives that feeling of people leave, I feel like, and they get that sense that it's move in ready.
Yeah, they can make it their own home.
It's a first impression. It's just like, you know, when you meet somebody, they say the first impression is the most important. It's the same thing with your house. When somebody walks in, a good trained agent, after they have got to know their clients, can usually tell about maybe 2-3 minutes into touring a house if their clients actually like that or not. And I know people say they want to look at the whole house and all that, and that's not true. We can feel out body language. We can see their tonality of their voice. We can see how they ask questions to their spouse, and it really is a first impression business.
Yeah.
Very cool. Guys ever play a little game where, you know, you're kind of whispering in the, hey, they gonna buy this house? Are you not gonna buy this house?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've done that before. And you can typically tell. Like, you can read them and tell 100%.
I bet you can. Yeah.
And sometimes you get, you know, clients where one spouse or significant other is very detail oriented and wants to look over everything before they tour, you know, decide on a house. Mm-hmm. The other spouse isn't that much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can be halfway through a showing and you can say, hey, you know, what you guys are telling me right now without telling me is you don't like this house. And a lot of times it proves true. And they're like, you know what? You're 100% right. I don't. And yeah, that's why the little details can be important.
Yeah.
That's great that you guys have gotten to know your clients so well that you can pick up on that.
Yeah.
That's great.
What about the rumor that when I sell my house, I should remove all of my family photos from the walls and from any of the furniture in the house?
So I've heard that before, and I honestly, like, I don't know, Kyle might disagree. I do not agree with that, like, at all, because I think people really identify with that personalization a little bit. Like, oh, they're so happy here with their sweet family, I can be too.
Okay. I feel like the question's twofold, because we've all been to that house, though, where, and this is the great thing of working with your spouse, is sometimes you can disagree, right? We've all been to that house where they love their family and they're so sweet, and literally every square inch of their walls are covered with their family pictures.
I mean, like, cluttered is one thing, but if it's
this
cluttered,
is where it gets interesting, folks.
Right, 100%. It can be, like, overwhelming sometimes, but I feel like if you've got, like, some family pictures up, and it's very tasteful, and it's not just, like, overwhelming and, like, enclosing your space, I think that's okay. Like, for them to know who you are and see you have three children or whatever it is, I think that that's okay to showcase. I don't think you have to hide that and make it, like, a sterile environment by any means.
But I'm wondering, Kyle, if you mean it's almost more to the point where, like, the paint color, it can become a distraction.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can. And I think that's what plays into, I don't think personalizing and having some pictures of your family out there is bad, because again, we're in a first impression business and people want to see that the house is lived in and
right. And
is a good house for their family. So I think that's good. If it's all over the walls and it's cluttering things up, and everybody's tastes are different. So maybe if you have too much of it, you know, have your friend.
Which would go back into having the realtors walk through and say, hey, maybe we should take some notes. Maybe guys should condense some of the family photos.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. And we're typically the agents that are trying to, if you're selling your house, we're trying to not make you spend $10,000, $15,000,
$20,000
getting ready for sale. We're going to try to get you to do the bare minimum necessary to present your house well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Right.
And, I think that it just all plays into it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go outside. Let's step outside to the curb. So tell us about, let's talk curb appeal. When we are thinking about prepping a home for sale, what are some of the things that sellers should be thinking about and doing that can have minimum investment but high impact?
That's definitely a first impression thing. I'm sure Kyle knows what I'm gonna say, but
she's gonna talk about the front door area.
I harp on this a lot because I have seen this so many times. Like, you're standing there as an agent, you're fidgeting with the key box, you're fidgeting with the lock to get in. Is it the deadbolt, handle, whatever? And you have your clients around you, and you've got cobwebs, you have dirt, you have dust, you have all this stuff going on, and people are just looking as you're fidgeting with all this. And that's their first impression. This house is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That's their first impression right off the get-go. They're looking at five other houses. They're here from out of town. You know, that's what typically is going to happen. And so I feel like that is huge. Like, look at your door. Look at your porch. Make that as pretty and pristine as you can.
And that's really just a staging thing.
Totally. And it's honestly so easy. If you got to power wash it, you know, if you got to sweep around the mat, whatever, it's really, really easy to do. But a lot of people don't think about that extra step.
My sense is that you're really good at that and probably would enjoy your clients helping your clients with that.
I do. Yeah. I really do, because people don't think about that. An outside perspective is huge. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, and the reality of it is, if you have a garage and an entry from your garage into your house, you're probably not using it
exactly
very much.
Yep.
So
just to pick up those Amazon boxes.
And your kids probably do that anyway, so.
Right.
But anyway, which means I guess it could be easily overlooked.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Something to remember. Okay, yep. What about any kind of, flowers, colors, anything in particular that you would recommend there?
You know, honestly, I think just to make a good first impression, I definitely wouldn't go overkill with anything with it. Don't get like a professional landscaper out. I really wouldn't do anything like that. I think that would, landscapers are great and it's good whenever you're, purchasing the house, but I think to get it sold, I would not make an investment on that end personally.
Is it possible to look too desperate? With the curb appeal.
I don't know if it would be too desperate.
I don't know. And I was going to say, if you have professional landscaping, it's not a bad idea to have it cleaned up.
If you don't have weeds out, I wouldn't do that. I would definitely have it cleaned up. You know, if you want to put some extra mulch down over your old stuff from a couple years ago.
That's great.
I would not go all out on that. Just have it where you stand on the road. Mm-hmm. And look out into your yard and see how it looks and just go from there. I would not go all out, but have it look presentable is what I would personally recommend on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you write a 20-page novel about your house inside, that may seem a little desperate.
Sure.
Yeah, we've seen that too.
All right. So we've discussed selling the home. What's the first thing I should do as a buyer? what do I do? I have no clue where to go. What is your recommendation?
So you're out looking at houses. So a lot of people, what is it like? What's the statistic? Like 97% look at homes online before they do anything. I mean, that's obviously the most common thing that people do.
My personal opinion, which is not statistical, is the other 3% just don't have the internet or don't know how to use the internet, because that's where your home searches are at, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's what.
I mean, I have the Zillow app on my phone just for fun.
Right. Oh yeah, and that's super common. Like, absolutely. I would say the first step to do would be contact a bank. And I say that because a lot of people use that as kind of like, when I find something, I'll go for it and I'll go to the bank. And Kyle and I have both seen this, like, in the real estate business time and time again. You go and you get your heart set on a $300,000 house. You're out trotting around with your agents. You see all these beautiful homes. You find something, you fall in love. You put in an offer. You have no pre-approval. And so that's huge. Like, if you're going to make an offer on a home, you have to have a pre-approval in hand. And oftentimes, as us as adults know, whenever you go out and you get, you know, any sort of a credit check or anything like that, there could be something outstanding on there that you need to get fixed on. And that is the ultimate punch in the gut to find out that you can't afford that $300,000 house. You actually need to go down to $220,000. And that's a really big difference. $80,000, that's a really big difference of what you're looking for. And so to have that knowledge up front of what you need to look at, so your mindset is into that category, is huge. That really, really is.
So what kind of things should the home buyer who's on the market have prepared when they go into the bank? This might be particularly helpful to our first-time home buyers, maybe somebody who hasn't bought a home in a while, things have changed.
Right.
What should they have? What should they take with them to be prepared to talk about pre-approval?
So a lot of times they can do things online. Like, that's what we typically encounter.
Yeah, you can, almost every bank now has an online mortgage application where you can do it in your pajamas or something like that. But you've got to have your income information from your employer. You've got to know what your salary is. And it's, you know, even if you know close to what it is, but you don't know what your last year's wages are, it's worth the extra couple hours if you're in the pre-process. So you're not out looking, but you're trying to get the bank pre-approval to make sure you can go look. It's worth it to make sure that information is accurate, because that's literally what they use to write your pre-approval letter. And so if that information is inaccurate, you could find a house, you could go under contract, and then find out you can't purchase that house. So make sure that information is accurate. But you really just... Social Security number so they can run a credit check. You'll have to have your bank statements, you know, any outstanding debts you have. You know, they will pull all that, and it's a good idea ahead of time to kind of have that prepared. I think the other aspect of that is, you know, Tiffany talked about what happens if you can't afford as much house. We're also in a really hot market right here, and you know, we're seeing houses that are selling within one day, one week, you know, even houses that are selling up to 2 weeks, and those are going fast, and you don't have the time to look at the house, think it over for the night, talk to the bank the next day, and make an offer 4 days later. And in the last four business days, we've had one house that we had buyers for that sold in after 1 day on the market, and we had another house that we had listed that sold after 4 days on the market. So the market is just really strong right now.
It is.
And you really can't afford that extra time. So before you get your heart set on a house and then find out somebody else bought it because you couldn't move fast enough, you're just a lot better off to get that step done in the beginning.
Yeah. It just sets everyone up for success, truly. Like, before you meet with an agent, anything, just to meet with your lender, you know, whoever you bank with, if you know an agent, they can definitely direct you to a lender that they've worked with in the past. But it just sets you up for success from the get-go.
And, you know, we've got a handful of good lenders that we work with that, you know, have a long history of taking care of our clients. And when they say they're going to get the deal done, it goes through every time. And,
and
so I think reaching out to your agent first, saying, hey, who do you recommend? Who do you like to work with? That's always a good starting point.
Cool. So I've got the pre-approval, and I'm feeling good about that. I'm out looking at houses. What are some of the red flags I should be aware of?
I would definitely, so first of all, I would make sure that you're working with one agent.
Okay.
I know a lot of people can get a little confused, especially first-time homebuyers, through that process. They think, oh, I need to call the list agents because they're going to get me a better deal or whatever the case is. In reality, the buyer doesn't pay the commission on anything. It comes off of the sale of the home that you're purchasing. So just know that up front, that you're not paying anything out of pocket as a buyer. And so find an agent that has your back, knows what you're looking for, and that has your interests at heart, and that they're going to be out looking and prowling out for what's coming up on the market for you on your behalf as well. And that's going to set you up for success from the get-go as well, because they're going to be able to show you, you know, whatever's kind of in your category that you're looking for.
I have a question from the buyer's perspective for you. You obviously, the home inspection process, and I'm thinking for, again, some of the first-time home buyers or those who haven't been through the process in a while. Is there a particular order that you want to have, you know, all of the you're going through the inspection process, or you're under contract, and you're, you know, is there a standard order that just sort of happens for all of these things? Is there some things that you have the option of doing, but some people opt out and maybe they should? Like, what are some of those like nitty gritty kinds of things that once you're under contract, you want to make sure you really take the time to do?
So our contract is really good at protecting the buyer in the sense of the home inspection. So on the contract, on the second page of the contract, we have an inspection contingency on there that is going to protect the buyer in the sense that it gives you dates the inspection has to be done by and that the inspection has to be agreed upon by. And so you have to get an inspection done by a licensed inspector, and I'm sure your agent will know a host of different sources to be able to help you with that. And they'll be able to walk you through to tell you any red flags of the house. And so at that point you can look and see like, oh my goodness, this house has like very serious foundation issues or roofing issues or whatever that case is. If there's any really big issues, you can then go in and ask those sellers, what can you do for me here? Like, I want this to be fixed, or I want a credit for this, or whatever that case is. And then y'all can negotiate that out. And so you're protected on that sense, because you're not going to be buying like a death trap and just be stuck to it, if you know what I mean. So that absolutely is that protection clause in there for people.
So it really does come back to having a realtor who has those connections.
Yes.
Has all the inspectors that they can recommend. And
the people that can come in and fix it fast, that can take a look and let you know if this is like a legit concern. Absolutely. I mean, to work with an agent that is full-time and that has connections in the industry is huge. And I think it's a big deal.
That takes us back full circle probably to our initial kind of kick when we got started about choosing an agent. And that might be a good vetting question is, you know, tell me a little bit about your portfolio of you know, service providers and inspectors and availability, and are they pretty quick?
I mean, right,
just getting to understand what their connections are.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a really, really big deal. 100%.
Yeah, and I think the people that we choose to work with on a regular basis that we recommend out to our clients are people that are in the business that we feel would or currently do work on our own houses or our own projects that we're working on. And, you know, they're people that we trust wholeheartedly, whether that's an inspector that's extremely detailed but also does a good job of explaining issues to you and kind of telling you if this is more of a minor issue, or, you know, this is probably something you should get checked out, to a lender, you know, that there's like online lending is a big thing nowadays with the internet.
Yeah.
And you can have a lender in Texas, in California, in Florida, and we're in Illinois. And come closing day, they're a long ways away if anything comes up. So we have good local people that are close by that work with us transaction after transaction, that, you know, we have their cell phone numbers. We know where these people live. I mean, it's we're good, you know, it's more than just a colleague or something like that. You know, we actually work with these people day in and day out. You know, we kind of treat them like family and expect that they treat our clients like family. And I think that's what's important. You know, we won't refer anybody to you just because they're in that business. They actually have to kind of pass our test to get into that business.
Yeah.
Well, Tiffany and Kyle, you've gave us great insight on selling and buying a home. We've got a little bit more before we take off for the evening. Question that I've got for you. You talked about and you discussed what you loved about Monticello. What would you like to see more around here in the Monticello area?
So,
ooh, that's a good question.
That is. I really do feel like that the community has a ton of things offered. I am lazy, and so I would say something that I would love is more delivery options. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm at the office and I am really like in the middle of something and I'm starving and my stomach is growling, I want someone to bring me food.
That's great.
Besides my husband, because he gets cranky when I ask him.
That's the opposite of lazy. You're working so hard, you cannot be interrupted.
100%. Totally agree with that.
Like how I spend that?
You spend it how you want.
Yeah, you know, we're lazy people that like food in this office. So. We like the delivery of everything, but... Now, I think we have a good community. I don't know exactly what I would say that we need more of. You know, we've got some good parks, we've got some good restaurants, we've got some great businesses. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
know. It's a tough one.
See, and I would say, like, clothes shopping, because I love shopping. Like, that is my thing. So I would automatically say that as well.
Always need more clothes shopping options.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, as small business owners in our community, what kind of advice would you give new or potential business owners?
I would say, you know, I feel like something that was big for us that we kind of had to like hit on with us like working together as agents was to be like, find your brand. Find who you are and own it and run with it. Don't kind of bounce and fluctuate all over the place. Like, find what you're trying to do and what your brand is and just own it and just run with it.
Yeah. And you know, we kind of really embody the we are professionals at what we do, but we are not professional as a couple. We're not always suit and tie, three-piece suit. You know, my everyday attire is usually jeans and some sort of either polo or quarter zip if it's wintertime.
And they all say Kester Home.
And they're all embroidered with her logo on there.
I can attest because I do the laundry and they all do
that. Well, that's something somebody who just wears normal t-shirt and jeans can...
Yeah.
Can vibe with.
And you know, we kind of are who we are. We've talked actually earlier before the podcast about one time we were in a live video and the camera literally fell. Middle of the live Facebook video. There's nothing you can do then, but I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, and unfortunately it fell, and you know, it was embarrassing for us, but it was kind of funny too. And we actually had a lot of people comment or call us after that video saying, hey, that video was hilarious. We loved the announcement, and we even loved more the camera falling in the middle of it. So.
Yeah.
It just becomes endearing and a talking point, and it's real life.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing for business owners is own who you are. Like, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be embarrassed. Like, take who you are and just run with it. You know, it'll definitely suit you a lot better for people to be able to, like, attest your authenticity than to kind of sense of fakeness or anything.
Right.
Just be who you are.
Well, there's a lot of shiny objects nowadays too, and we've fallen for plenty of them, but you know, you can't do everything. You know, you're constantly getting emails, phone calls about people that can increase your ratings on Google, help you with Facebook marketing, you know, people that can drive more customers in your door. And you have to come up with your own plan, and you have to execute that plan. Yeah. And you've got to avoid the shiny objects. Mm-hmm. And for us, I mean, frankly, it's just taking care of our clients really well. I feel like we do a good job at what we do, and where we beat other people that are in our profession, or we have much better customer service. And we take care of our clients. We invest more money in making sure they're taken care of. And we just try to be an advocate for our clients, whether that's somebody needing a plumber or somebody wanting to buy a house or somebody that bought a house and wants to put some new siding on. I mean, we don't really care why you call us. We just want to be there to help you when the time comes. And that's kind of how we continue to grow our businesses through that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Stephanie, I've got one more question for Tiffany and Kyle, if you're okay with that.
Please.
All right. Without giving away the special sauce, what is your secret to success?
I would say taking care of your clients. I, I would really say that. Like, just in the all-encompassing fact of, like, during the process and after the process, you know, we, like Kyle had said, you know, we're going to work with them on if they call a year later after they close, who is a good plumber? Like,
right.
Your roof is having issues. Like, let me get you in contact with someone. We are there for them, and we contact them after the fact. They contact us after the fact. You know, us and our team, we act as a family, and it's the same with our clients. Like, they really just become friends and family, and we interact with them as such. I feel like we honestly, like, and not even to sound like braggy, but like, we have a lot of referral based clients come back. I would say that's the majority of our business, is just referrals. Having someone's mom call and be like, oh, you sold my daughter so-and-so house, or someone's best friend. And it's an amazing honor, but we have a lot of that. And it's awesome to see, like, someone cared about us enough, and like, they knew that we cared about them, that they went and referred their mom. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, can you even beat that? And I think that's just, that's the best thing. And it's honoring to us. But we make sure that we take care of everyone, because, I mean, it means a lot to us, for sure.
You know, I think it's more, I think you have to have a passion for actually caring for the people you're dealing with, too. I don't think you can just come in here and say, we have to take good care of our clients. I think it's, you know, a true concern of ours is to make sure that our clients are satisfied with us and that we do a good job for them. And if we find out they're not happy for whatever reason, we try to jump in and correct that. Now, does everything always go perfectly? No. But, you know, I think it's just consistency and doing it over and over and over again with that same passion of, hey, we're going to take care of these people better than anybody else. And, you know, the great thing about Monticello is also the bad thing if you have a bad reputation, and that's, we're a small community. And, you know, these people that we're working with, we see them out at restaurants, we see them at grocery stores, we see them at our kids' soccer games, you know, at our t-ball games. And we don't want to be in a situation where it's awkward to see somebody because they don't like us. And, you know, that's where, to say everything's perfect all the time, no, it doesn't go perfect. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, everybody knows we're doing everything we can to make it as seamless as possible.
Right.
And I think that's the important thing.
And I think it's good too, like, us being married, like, you get like a 2-for-1 kind of a situation, you know, like, literally all we talk about is houses. Like, that's our life. You know, we talk about it during the day in the office. We talk about it at date night. We talk about it when we put the kids to bed. That's what we talk about, is our business. And we love it. You know, it is truly our passion. It's what we do. And we truly do love it. And it just, you get that. You get that 2-for-1 special with us.
There you go.
Sounds like the key to
real
success
special
is authenticity. And I think that we could name any number of brands that we like and love, and it probably, when it boils down to it, that would be an attribute that transcends all of our favorite brands, is that authenticity, when you can feel that heart.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being our test podcast interviewees,
the guinea pigs.
We really are.
Well, we'll see. We're doing our best here at Main Street to preserve and vitalize historic downtown Monticello. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. Brandon Taylor, thank you so much for this, for spearheading this. Brandon is our chair of economic vitality, one of 4 committees at Monticello Main Street. So I want to thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. It's
my
pleasure.
Well, stick with us, folks. We'll keep coming back, bringing more small business owners and subject matter experts right to the airwaves.
Absolutely.
Hopefully with lots more informative, educational, inspiring talks and information that will help impact your day-to-day decisions, both personally and professionally.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
And just remember,
there's a place for everyone on Main Street.